Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am uber excited. We have a great repeat guest. Her name is Nancy Kasdan. You may have seen her earlier this year. And she is a sales guru, I think is the best way to describe her. She does live in San Francisco. So when you live on the West Coast, you can be called a guru. Ain't that right, Nancy?
Yes, it is, Brian.
How are you doing today?
Really well, thanks.
Great. Well, I'm excited to have you back on. I know last time we talked about sales, but today we're going to be talking about kind of the antithesis of sales, which is listening. So when we talked before, you told me that there were basically four components to listening. So what are those four different types? Can you kind of lay out the groundwork for this for us?
Sure. What I'll do is, and it's actually four types of listening behaviors, and what they are is I'll put them into least desirable to most desirable, okay? So let me just go through those real quick. So the first one is the non-listener. This is somebody that does not listen. They don't make eye contact. They're really not interested in what the other person is saying, and they don't attempt to make an effort to hear or listen to what the other person is saying. So this is a very self-absorbed type of person, or they've got blank stares, nervous mannerisms and gestures. They might even fake attention, but they're really too busy preparing what they want to say next to listen to what is being said in the moment. They're primarily concerned with doing most of the speaking, which we know there's a lot of salespeople out there that can be doing too much speaking and not enough listening. And listening is the essence of building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll go into marginal listener. This is partially better, but not great. They're hearing the sounds and the words, but not really listening. So when we're across the Zoom or the table, whatever we get to do these days with COVID, what will happen is that it's whether or not people are really listening or interested in listening. The marginal listener is a superficial listener. They're easily distracted by their own thinking and outside occurrences and distractions. And we all know people that we've got to ask them to put their phones down. And hopefully that's not your children and people that you care about. So, but in business, it happens a lot. We kind of were half there, we're half not there. But it's like people we think we might be listening to, but we're not. What happens with this? We don't have shared meaning. If we don't have shared meaning with what's being said, we don't have understanding. And then when we don't have trust from that understanding, we don't have quality relationships to build on.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's go into the evaluative listener. Now, this is a really interesting listener, and I live in Silicon Valley, so we're loaded with evaluative listeners, okay? I'm not saying these are bad things. We've all been through all of these stages all day long. We go through different ones. The evaluative listener is really focused on things like facts, statistics, semantics, may get stuck on one word. They form opinions without words even being completed. It's a lack of understanding and trust and could be poor accuracy because the listener really has missed a lot of the story or a lot of what the other person is trying to say. So the other thing is that empathy in evaluative listening isn't happening. Critical thinking is critical to have. Logical listeners, absolutely critical once again, but evaluative listeners tend to be poor in sensitivity, in empathy, and true understanding of what the other person is truly saying. And for those of us that build long-term relationships in business, never mind the personal life, but in business, this is a real problem, and you can be rejected and you wouldn't even know it. The evaluative listener is always forming opinions because they want to get their message out. They're focused more so on themselves. This creates a lack of understanding, lack of trust, and the alienation and poor accuracy, like I said a moment ago. I just want everybody to really understand this. Mm-hmm. Critical thinking is not as valuable in this case. People that pride themselves on critical thinking, and there are many people out there that do engineering and actuarial and all kinds of skills or professions, but have to be careful, because if you miss the total meaning, you don't get the accuracy of verbal and nonverbal communication, and you can miss the message. And here's where empathic listening is the highest level of listening. It's, people call it active listening. I call it empathic listening. You call it what you will, but this is somebody that wants to listen to the entire conversation, will wait and listen until the other person is finished, and they want to understand the speaker first. They want to not only listen for the content of the message, but the intent and the feeling of the message as well. Enter empathy. How you feel and what you think and what others think can really promote shared understanding. Shared understanding builds relationships. There is no doubt. There's loads of research on this. And now we have a lot of neurological research as well, neuroscientific research about this. Mm-hmm. The thing is that accuracy in listening means being there. Being there means being interested, and being interested means not just listening for what you want to listen to, but to listen to the entire meaning of someone. And I think with parents, I don't want to get onto my parent thing, but just to say, parenting is particularly valuable when it comes, listening is particularly valuable when it comes to listening, because parenting is about valuing what your children say. And if you're busy doing other things and while they're talking, you're not really sensing, attending, and responding to them. And empathic listeners are superb questioners. They really are. I know evaluative listeners, like I talked about before with critical thinking, super important as well. But the better you listen, the better you can ask questions.
Okay, there's two sides to this coin.
Okay.
And side number one is you can be one of those four listeners. You can be, you know, somebody who's completely spaced out to empathetic. I think, you know, how you listen to people is incredibly important. But I think what's more important is, let's say we're talking to somebody and they're not listening to us. They're not the ones being empathetic. They're not being one of those four, or they're in those categories. Is there something that we could or should be doing to help change that into the more empathetic model, or is that just built into the DNA?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think it's built into the DNA. But I think there's a competition with listening. And to get on, to quote unquote, get onto their radar, you may want to employ some tricks to doing that. Because there are just non-listeners and marginal listeners out there, and you can assess that. But there's also others that don't want to be rude, that maybe don't realize that they're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle, bless him, he's not with us anymore, but he used to always do this and drove me nuts. He would say, "Do you follow me?" And it drove me nuts that he did that, because like that's a closed statement and all that. But I understand why he was doing it, because he wanted to make sure that you were listening to what he said. And that was a good trick, I think. Do you follow me? It's pretty innocuous, but that can help. So in the moment, somebody may be distracted and may be easily distracted. I know different people, but distractions affect people different, everyone differently. So that's an important thing too. Certain types of noises distract people away from the conversation. Certain types of ringtones. There's all kinds of sensory things that go along with listening. So it's whether we have the courage sometimes to ask, would you like to reschedule this meeting? And they'll say, oh, no. And that could bring them back. Or that's a good point, because I'm not quite with it right now. So it's getting people to open up about where they are in the conversation.
This, I mean, you know, using a feedback loop. I do that all the time. I ask, does that make sense? That's my way of saying what your uncle said. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And trying to get them to either say yes or to kind of regurgitate a little of what I said or expand on it. Mm-hmm. But it can also be seen as condescending too. You know, I knew somebody that used to say, you picking up what I'm putting down? You know, it's like, you know, it almost made me feel less competent. How do you kind of deal with that? How do you guide the conversation with somebody who, you know, again, we want to talk about ourselves. We want them to listen to us. How do we make sure that people are hearing what we're saying? What kind of tips and tricks and tools can we use to make sure that our messages are getting across?
Number one, do not use the word I. Never use the word I, because that focuses on you and not the other person. That's one thing to drop, is I messages. It's we messages, it's open questions. And so what we would do is be very conscious of their verbal and nonverbal communication and really look at what they're saying and their voice inflection and what they're doing, and see whether or not you can open some of those things up to say, I'm not sure you're with me here. If you've got a good relationship with someone, you can say that. If you don't, or you don't have a solid footing, it's going to be pretty tough to do that. So this is delicate in terms of communication. So it's up to us to be mindful and aware of what others are saying and how they're saying it, and then how we are expressing ourselves, to go through that, as you call it, feedback loop, the sender-receiver feedback loop. And it's a very complex area, so we really have to be in the moment and we have to focus our attention.
So then what becomes the tool for us to become better listeners? I mean, is there a trick to this, or is it kind of personal? Like, you know, some people actually learn better through physically writing down notes, which may seem like we're not interested, but it actually helps your mind connect to the pen, which gives you a better understanding of what's being said. But you may be seen as disinterested because you're sitting here focused on your piece of paper. What are some of the things that we can do to make sure that we're coming across as good listeners, that we're getting the messages, and you know, how do we improve as listeners that way?
You brought up something really important, and that is learning and development. Many of us do not learn as well with just listening with our ears, and we don't retain as well. It's better if we're also writing as well as listening. So I think it's a compliment when you're writing, when people are writing things down, when I'm saying them, like if I'm in a if I'm doing a webinar or session, whatever, or I'm in a meeting, when people are writing things down, that's actually a gift to you. That means you've got something valuable to say, and people don't want to forget. Because if we're only listening and we're not writing, we do forget. The statistics are frighteningly bad. We remember very little. And obviously that's different for different people. But so the trick is use taking notes. And you can say, I hope you don't mind if I take notes, but I really don't want to miss what you're saying. That's giving someone a positive, reinforcing comment about, we want to listen to you, or I want to listen to you. So taking notes is very important because it becomes visual. That's a visual cue, not just an what we call an auditory cue.
So how does listening skills and sales work hand in glove? What is there a secret sauce there somewhere that you can use listening skills to help you become better at understanding somebody's needs and actually matching them with the products and or services you have?
I think I said this, to answer that, I think I said this in my the other session we did. First meeting, let them speak 80% of the time. The 20%, you can ask questions. But that 80% listening, let them speak because they'll be more valued. It goes hand in hand because when somebody is trying to overtalk you, and many salespeople run that risk, when they're trying to overtalk, you're not getting into what they need, the prospect needs in terms of a solution or to be understood. So it's that 80-20 rule really rings home here. Plus, you've got to turn everything off and create the environment to listen. Close your door. Make sure that you put yourself in the purposeful listening mode. Turn everything off. Turn your phone over. Don't look at the messages coming in. These distractions actually affect your communication and listening. And somebody will actually have a little blip in their voice when a message comes through and they read it on their screen. So put yourself in the best position to listen and make sure you're not talking more than the first meeting, more than 20% of the time. You're doing the listening. And your facial expressions, you are nodding, you have strong eye contact, you might be smiling, you're not frowning, and you might have some hand gestures in there, okay? So that's where the listening and selling really goes hand in hand, and then you can craft your questions. So what I'm really saying here is listening and crafting your questions are absolutely critical to the sales process.
So if you do a good job listening, you've taken good notes, you've gotten all this info, does it make sense to summarize that and then send it in an email or some kind of communication afterwards, and just, or is that, you know, case by case basis? Some people may find it condescending. You said this and I want to write it down, make sure you know what you said. I mean, how do you deal with that?
Boy, there's a really good question. We could have a whole session on this. Thanks, Brian. First of all, it depends at the end of your meeting. Let's just shoot forward to the end of the meeting. Depending upon what you agree to could be important. If you are working with lawyers, for example, they love everything in writing. They would like things summarized in writing. That's one of the first things that they like. Other people, they may not want it in writing. They may want you to summarize right then and there, if you can. Let's summarize our meeting so we can move forward. So you would do that. It depends on the person. So it doesn't depend on you. It depends on what they need so that you can get the action, let's say, to go to the next meeting. But for you to focus on that you captured the essence is really important. Capturing what they said is vital, whether you write it and get it back to them or whether you're listening and through listening and writing it down right then and there, you said, gee, to summarize it, I just want to make sure that I've got this right. Sometimes I do that. The other thing, and this is one of my, I've run this consulting firm for what, over 20 years, and I can honestly tell you that when I do proposals, and I don't miss them very often because I don't do many, what I do is I do very purposeful proposals and I feed back to them what I thought they said. So you can actually put it in a proposal if you're asked to do a proposal.
So the bottom line with all of that is it's a case by case basis.
Yes.
But it can't hurt to ask, right? So
never hurts.
How would I suit you best? You know, do you want me to summarize now, write it up an email, get it to you later? I mean, in the heat of the moment, you know, just ask. I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think.
Carl, yes, that's right. There's nothing wrong with asking. And in fact, people take that as a compliment. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I'm really interested in furthering what you said, because this is really interesting. One of the things you said was da 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 da. And then you could say, well, I thought about summarizing this in an email and agreeing to the next meeting. So you can actually do it. This is almost like an assumptive close to the next meeting. What about I prepare what we discussed prior to our next meeting? Let's schedule it so that you have that going forward.
Awesome. Well, Nancy, this has been some great tips and some great ideas, and hopefully our audience has listened, but maybe they want a little bit more. So if they wanted to learn more about listening and sales and all the things that we've been talking about, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way to do this, and I am serious, I would like people to call me or email me or go on my LinkedIn, and I'll tell you those in a moment, because coaching or mentoring, whichever you like, I am open to doing. And I will make time for you out there in our listening world. The phone number, if you'd like to message me and we can set something up, is 408-500-9200. Once again, that's 408-500-9200. On LinkedIn, just go to Nancy Kasdan. Nancy and then Kasdan, K-A-Z-D-A-N, and you'll find me. Or my email, which is very long, but I really appreciate if you would email me. And that is N Kasdan, N for Nancy, K-A-Z-D-A-N at marketshareinternational.com. It's all spelled just normally. So N Kasdan at marketshareinternational.com. Don't be a stranger and don't be shy. I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome, Nancy. Well, thanks so much for coming on today and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I look forward to getting together with you again in the not too distant future and cover some more great topics about how we can better communicate with our audience, preferably the people we're selling to. So thanks, Nancy.
Thank you again, Brian. It's a pleasure.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.